reading this evening is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And Jesus sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And Jesus took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Saints, we just got done singing "How Great Thou Art." That was my grandpa's favorite song, by the way. His name was Arthur, too. Arthur, how great thou art. And then we had a text that was chosen in which the disciples, get this, we were saying "How great thou art," and the disciples were arguing who was the greatest among them. The irony, right? The text is full of irony. You know, movies and books are supposed to put you in certain moods, and texts kind of have certain moods to them. So the beginning of our text, Jesus speaks about his crucifixion. And of course, the mood of that is that of humility, that of love, that of self-sacrifice, that of Jesus coming not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he's not, and he is specifically saying it to his disciples while they are on the way, but then the text says they don't understand it. And so as they continue on the way, what then do they talk about? The complete opposite of that, right? Not about self-sacrifice, not about love for each other, but about selfishness, about love for themselves, about how great they are. And so Jesus then takes a little child and puts it in the midst of them and says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And that's maybe the image that I want you to get, is Jesus going and taking a little child in his arms. This is somebody that many would see as insignificant. This is somebody that many would see would not be worth a lot of their time. What can children do at that point in time? They're not good. They take, and they don't give. very much. They're not viewed as very significant. And Jesus, as they are arguing about who is the greatest, picks up a little child and puts it in the midst of this. And at other times, Jesus will say, in fact, you have to receive the kingdom of God like a little child, and puts them in there. The irony of the text should not ever be lost on us. But if the big image that I want you to get is this Jesus taking the child in his arms, I gave you a couple texts to meditate on this evening, along with the one that we have from the Mark chapter 9. And that is in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you." I gave you that one, that text, because there's different characters here. You know, there's the disciples, there's Jesus, but I want you to maybe focus on the character of the child. Because what does Jesus do for that child? He goes and he takes the child. And he picks that child up in his arms. Did that child choose Jesus? Jesus chose that child. And he treasures that child. And he sees that child as significant. And he just got done talking that he is going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. And who will he do that for? He will do that for that child. And he will do that for you as well. So if the picture of that is that child, then the first thing that we should picture is that's the picture of him doing that for you. He chose you. He views you as significant. He views you as valuable. One of the reasons that you don't have to argue about who is the greatest is because you can sing "How Great Thou Art," and you know that he thinks you're beautiful and holy and righteous and blameless. He died for you. He loves you. He forgives you. He thinks you're great because he created you and he redeemed you. And I gave you that other verse from Psalm 139. One of the reasons that we don't have to argue about who is the greatest, because each and every single one of us can have this said about us, where our Lord says, where we say of our Lord, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And Jesus takes somebody who would be viewed as insignificant, and he treasures them. And that would be something that you always, always need to hear. You are significant. You are treasured by Jesus. He loves you and he died for you. So then how does that affect how you view others too? Jesus receives you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Now what are you to do then for others? Love them. Receive them. How does Jesus say it? Whoever receives one such child in my name. So Christianity very, very early was a religion that loved children and still does. Receives children and still does. Treasures children, teaches children, molds children, loves children because of this command that whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me but him who sent me. But that goes kind of in other ways too. The Christian religion receives who else? Not just children, but who else? You know, we could say everybody, because that's absolutely true. But who else, especially? The outcasts? Those with disabilities? The ones who maybe couldn't give to society as society thinks it should be given to? What were you going to say? The ones?
They couldn't do for themselves.
Right? The ones who can't help themselves? There's one church father who... The government heard that the church had a humongous amount of treasure. And so the government came, the government official, very powerful, somebody who would kill him, said, "Give me your treasure." And the church father goes and he says, "We do have a lot of treasure. Let me go and show it to you." And he goes and he shows him the widows and the orphans and the little children and the sick. He says, "These are our treasures." You want to know what happened to him?
They killed him.
But we're still talking about him. And we're still thankful for that lesson. And that lesson still teaches us. Those are our treasures. Because we're receiving them as we receive Jesus. And we know we get Matthew 25. Whoever does these to the least of these does it unto me. Beautiful text. Thoughts from this text? Or our psalm, you kind of consider those first words that we spoke in that psalm, the first words and the last words, delight yourself in the Lord, which is the complete opposite of arguing about who is the greatest. They're obviously not delighting themselves in the Lord, and so often neither do we. But delight yourselves in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Comforts and joys that come from any of our readings.
The verse 37 just led me to baptism.
Yeah.
At the end of baptism, as a congregation, we say we welcome you into God's kingdom.
That's right.
And so it's not the child that we're really welcoming, we're welcoming Jesus Christ.
Right.
We're welcoming Christ in there. So that one verse just to me made me think about baptism at the very end where we are.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Those that are coming into Christ.
We welcome you. Yeah. You have Christ now.
Right.
You have Christ in you.
Right.
We welcome you as much as we welcome Jesus.
Jesus, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do that then for every. Would that we do that then for everybody. Our Lord, of course, is admonishing us because we don't do that as we should, but always encouraging us in the faith to do that. Yeah, that is a beautiful. We receive you. I like that too. And you can't help but think of baptism too within this text. So when we do the infant baptism, we have a different reading from Mark where the little children are brought to Jesus. You know, this isn't that text, but it highlights, you know, it's a different one. So there are times when parents are bringing children to Jesus. That teaches us one thing. And then there's this time when Jesus just takes the little child. And that teaches us another thing, another beautiful comfort. Good. Let's rise and let's pray.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, have mercy, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to you the little children of this congregation, the little children of our families, all children of our communities and places of work. We commend to you those who cannot care for themselves. We commend to you those who are outcast or the weakest among us. And we ask you that even as you have promised to receive them, that you would help us to receive them, even as we would receive you. Give us wisdom and ability to do so. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your children as well, that we have confidence to come before you as dear children ask their dear Father, and confidence that you love us and will provide for us and give us everything that we need of body and soul. Therefore, we pray now for ourselves and for everybody that we know. We pray for our communities, our government, and those that we now name with hearts and voices. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, and an evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.